Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance.
Sorry, I can't.
I'm Becky, and joining us for this episode is Chloe the dog with Lindsay.
Lily the dog.
Or Lily. Lily, why did What's I say Chloe? Chloe? I don't know. Lily. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
She's yelling at the dog. Like, she's not yelling at just nobody. She's yelling at the dog.
It's okay. That honestly, that was worth it.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Hi. I didn't know. I guess we coordinated shirts today, but I didn't
you
know.
You guys do match.
This. You know, hey, whatever. We wear pink on Sundays. Hi, Great. Leah. How are you? Like, you've already introduced yourself. Like,
nobody, I don't need an introduction. People know the chaos that comes out of my mouth. So,
I mean, just get ready. It's our, I mean, we've already started.
We've already started. Lindsay, is Lily being naughty? What is going on with her?
So she always wants to be in and out when I'm on the calls and the episodes. And I'm like, no, like I blocked the door because I was like, I don't want her coming in here. And then she was like scratching at the door right before we went live and throwing like a fit outside. And I was like, fine, she can just be in here, because she went in my closet and just like stood there and did the border collie wolf stare thing they do.
Yeah.
Where she was just like, I'm not leaving. And then I was like, fine. And then right as we went live, she walks to the door and is like, let me out now. And I'm like, no, you don't get to do that. Like, no, you've picked your path for the next hour. And now she's
pouting. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's fine. We had to send Ollie and Stanley to bed with Sydney because.
Are they clean yet?
They are. Well, it was rainy today, so they stayed inside.
It was rainy today.
Stanley's not a fan of the rain. He's, you know, a little sensitive to the rain, which is cool. Ollie got a bath today, so he's not gray anymore. And then they roughhoused. And my house is not big. I have a tiny house with a little living room. And it was
two
like
big dogs.
And it was total parkour, like jumping off of things and.
Was Perry okay?
Perry's fine. Okay. Stanley's got beef with Perry.
Why does Stanley have beef with Perry?
We don't know, but Stanley will stand at the edge of Perry's cage and just randomly bark at him. They got beef. I don't know.
Poor Perry.
Perry will survive. Listen, I'd be more poor Stanley, like, because if Perry gets loose, you watch out. He's coming for you, and he's fierce. He will like attack your legs, Michael.
Yes, but Stanley can run away from him. Like, Perry does not move that fast.
I love my dog. I love my puppy. I'm not sure he's so brilliant that he would run away.
I mean, if Perry starts biting, he might.
Maybe. He might try to play with them. Who knows? Okay, so we are not talking about pets tonight, although that might be a fun episode, pets and books.
The floofs, yeah.
The floofs. But half the time authors forget they wrote a floof, and then I get irrationally angry about.
You're not the only one.
Like, you can't leave a dog for 3 days in your apartment alone. You just can't. Okay, so anybody have anything exciting happen this week with reading that we need to talk about? Leah's frozen at the moment with her angry face.
No, I'm trying to get through my arcs.
Through your arcs? I did not realize how far behind I am. Because then I skipped ahead. Like, I read, so I too read the J.T. Geisinger one that comes out in November.
Okay.
And then, yeah, similar thoughts. And then I jumped ahead and read the Alessandra Balfour.
It's her new one.
Yeah, her devil one. It's like a sapphic demon one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty good. But then I realized I skipped over the K. Bromberg, the second book.
Oh,
I have that one. I forgot about it.
It came out last Tuesday.
I have a bunch releasing when I'm gone, so I'm trying to get those done before I go, and it's a lot.
It's a lot. And I'm sure this is Leah's book of the week, so I won't talk about it till that book of the week. But there's
Which
one
one?
coming out this week that's
Oh, I mean, there's two coming out this week that I really enjoy. The one is my book of the week.
week. Yeah.
The other one is actually one of my series starters.
There you go.
I have two Book of the Weeks because there's like two coming out this week that are my favorites. So
There we go. I
sorry.
mean, we might have the same
Warning.
books.
It's okay. It's no problem.
I looked.
Well, okay.
So for this episode, you know that feeling when you finish book one of a series and immediately need to binge the rest? That's what we're talking about today. Series starters that deliver. We're breaking down what makes a great book one, how it sets the tone for the whole series, and why some first books fall flat while others have us cheering, clearing our weekend plans. Okay, here is the problem with this, guys. So I think this
Becky
is a
discovered
great
this.
episode. I think this is going to be a great episode. But my life choices really bit me in the ass on this book or on
Well,
this
but
episode.
you go back to book one though sometimes, don't you?
Rarely.
There are some. I thought of like a few off the top of my head that I know that you love. So,
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I actually forgot to print out my list of books. So like I don't have to do that here real quick. But we'll share some of our favorite series openers that totally deliver, ones that make us fall in love with an entire world or family and keep the promise all the way through. I will also say I'm not a good binge reader.
It
Yeah,
depends on the book for me.
I am. So I feel like I was putting this list together and I was like, these are all books that I talk about all the time. So I
Yeah.
don't know that I have anything new and exciting for this because I binge all the time.
I mean, I have some that they're older-ish, not like super old, but older that like, but they're books that we've talked about and authors that we've talked about in the past, but like we kind of stopped reading because like one of mine is like it started super strong, but by the end of it, I hated the
Oh
series.
yeah. That's
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's a fair point too. So
Lindsay, are you a binge reader?
yeah, so I am, and I'm also not. I'm very much a mood reader. And I'm very much like this year, I've very much been like a bucket of chaos reader.
Well,
Just
you went down
because.
that alien binge.
What?
That alien
Yeah.
series.
I did do that. I mean, that's still ongoing. That's just a huge life commitment. That's just been a huge life commitment, but I've really loved that. But yeah, I do generally like binge a series. But one of the things I thought was really interesting is like I kind of just picked authors I thought on the whole do series starters really well because I found that a lot of my favorite authors and specifically my favorite books are almost never first in series.
Yeah,
Well, it kind
I
of brings
agree.
up something we talked a little bit on Wednesday's episode of that sophomore slump that sometimes like you'll have a really strong book one and then book two just feels like space or filler and doesn't necessarily carry a series. And as I was looking at my Goodreads, I realized that I start a lot of times in book three of a series.
Nobody is surprised by this.
Like, I don't necessarily read one and two, I just start at three.
Yeah, I mean, that's generally a good way to get me to not like a book and continue a series, so.
I will do that too. I'll like pick up a random book. Like we'll read in the middle of the series for like a sip and discuss or like for book club in particular. And then I'll go back and read a lot of others by that author. Or like they'll do standalones and I'll just wind up reading everything else. But first in series books are hard, I
Well, but
think.
like Karen says too, some authors are not bingeable.
Yeah,
Like
like
I think there's like three authors that I read where I can't, like Amy, like A.L. Jackson, I can't binge her books because they're just I am like usually emotionally distraught by the end of them. So like I can't do that. And like Catherine, Cal's, like we've talked about this before, like they all there's a like they have all the same feeling. Like the characters are fairly similar and things like that. Like the stories are really well done, but you have to spread it out.
Well, I think both of them are really good series starters. Like I think they both do
Yes,
really good book
I agree.
ones.
They
And I think
really do.
Catherine, actually, Catherine's one of those rare ones where a lot of times I'll like her book two more than I like book one. Just depending on the series,
And
especially like the pattern.
Amy's hit or miss. Sometimes book two is not as strong, but sometimes book two is better.
I do agree that I think Catherine Cowell is one of those that does a really strong book one, because a lot of times though her book, the last book in her previous series, will help launch this
Yeah,
next
it there's
first.
like
There's a little bit of crossover,
because
one
there's spin-off
character or
like
something.
And I think also she's generally like a lot of times she's setting up like an overarching like theme or suspense that kind of goes over. And I think that's a really good hook for a book one, and it just makes you keep wanting to finish.
Well,
But she definitely has very strong series starters in every series.
and then I think of I was because I was moving books around today, and I was cringing at myself at the number of Veronica Eden books that I have of Iced
Oh,
Out
Iced Out.
and
Right there.
Mary,
I
what's
still
the
have
other
not read
one?
that book.
Merrily What, the second one? All the
Matching All the
Way.
Way.
Yeah,
Matching All the Way.
Matching All the Way. But I was thinking about that, and she classifies those as a series. And book three in that series is coming out, but I don't feel like those read like a typical series.
No, I
But
think they're different enough that you don't,
do you
it
see
doesn't
the
like tie in.
characters? Like what is the
It's
like
the
the tie-in for
university, the
this?
hockey team, the same. Like book one, he was the star hockey player. Book two, he came onto the university as a coach. But book one's character had already graduated and was playing in the NHL.
Her novella is ties in a little more because they're like teammates and there's a sibling
Well,
something going on, right?
he's the brother of the heroine in book two.
So they tie in
So
a
there's
little bit,
some
but you don't
tie-in,
have to
but it's
read them.
not.
I mean, I love those books and I'm super excited. I mean, have you seen the cute stuff for this book three? Like, I need to go over to her website because I know she's got like a pre-order box that.
Oh, MC is
Oh,
best friends
Jenny
with the
said,
other MC. I couldn't remember. I knew they were tied in somehow.
I'm gonna need that book three, but I have a ridiculous amount of that
Oh, yeah,
book.
I
Well,
have a
because every
lot.
time a new version comes out, like you crazies are like, I need this on
I
my
have the
shelf.
original version. I did the special editions when she did the illustrated covers, and then I have the hardbacks that she did, and then I think I buy it from every box that it comes out in.
Yeah, I think there's one box that you have that I don't, and there's one box
Blushed.
that I have that you don't.
Yeah, I have the blushed box, but I don't have the Hello Lovely. I keep stocking the Hello Lovely one
Oh,
on.
and I also have the Dirty Diction one, which you didn't get, but
No.
yeah.
I don't ever succumb to the peer pressure. And like financially, I'm very proud of myself, but I'm pretty sure at some point my gravestone's gonna read that like eventually my FOMO just did me in.
You could die
Lindsay,
of
you can
FOMO.
just come visit me and you can just touch them
Like
all
so
once I get my
agreed
office
every
set up.
time. And I'm like, no, it's okay. You were smart. Like you didn't,
Yes,
you
you
know,
were
you are the
smart
smart one.
one.
I'm like, no.
Yes.
And then I'm bitter about it forever.
Don't be bitter
Don't be
because you
bitter.
could spend that money on something
Because
else.
as I said to Mike Breuer on Friday night, I was like, I really think I'm gonna have to get in and give in and let you build me more bookshelves like above the couch between the window and the front door because the piles of books are starting to get out of control again. So,
We won't talk about it because I still don't have a space yet. So
well, but you're
who
getting
knows what
space.
it's gonna look like
But
when it's done.
I do think Victoria Eden, for what it's worth, her series starter was really impactful. Like, I mean, we read that book, what, 3 years ago? And I still think about it constantly.
It was really good. I mean, That
I
series
believe you.
was very strong.
Yeah.
Clearly, you
Clearly.
have six copies of the book now.
As I keep buying
Is it
it.
only six?
I think it's at least six.
At least.
Yeah.
So when we say this is a really strong series starter, what exactly are you looking for that makes it a strong series starter? Does it have to introduce all the characters at one time that are going to be in
No.
that series?
No.
No, when it does that, I wind up not liking them. Like,
Well,
it becomes too much, actually.
it depends on how long the series is for me.
It depends, but like, you get situations like, I specifically think of Jacinda Wilder's Bad Brothers, book one. Love that book, love that series. But she introduces all of the brothers in that book. Like, it becomes very much a setting the stage for the rest of the series. And like, I think the books that come after are like all around stronger because there's not like the level of introduction that comes into play. Like, it sets the plot for everything that's going to happen downstream. But I like it
I
when
think.
authors set things up organically. Like, they focus on the story between the female main character and the male main character, the female, whoever, like the two main characters, three main characters, however many. I feel like when they focus on that plot line and then they introduce the secondary characters organically, like you see and you want more of them. And I feel like, I don't know, it just happens more naturally for me. Like, that's what gets me interested.
What about you, Amanda? What do you expect in a really good series starter?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Lindsay, like if the other characters are introduced organically, but I also have to be, intrigued enough to continue to want to read them, so it there has to be like some kind of tie-in or, just a way that hooks me in to want to keep reading. So it doesn't have to be, they don't have to be like all over the page. It could just be, some little thing at the end sometimes that will just like make me like I'm like okay I need to read that but also I think it has to be the main characters have to be pretty strong like I have to be invested in both of them for it to be like this is like one of my favorite books in a series kind of thing if it's the first book.
Yeah. Do you think that we have to have the expected heat level, the spice level, established in the first book in order to make it a good starter? Or do you think that each book individually can be its own spice level? Do you think that the sexiness of the series has to be established early on, or it can vary?
I
No,
think
not
it
for
can
me.
vary because I think it depends on the characters. Because, like, and also, like,
Okay,
how the
wait.
story is
Jen Ellen just says in the
introduced.
chat, it's all vibes for me.
With a laughy face.
Jen Ellen, you're grounded. Just grounded. Anyway, go
I
on, Leah.
think
Sorry.
it depends on the book and the characters. Because if, like, you don't have to set up that expectation. Like Lindsay said in like the Bad Brothers series, like it opens like I mean it's very spicy and but not all of the books are like that level. But I think part of it is that first one's novella length almost, or if it is
It's shorter,
novella,
yeah.
it's short. It's
Yeah,
very
it's only
short.
65,000, 60 to 65,000
Yeah, so
words.
it's like on the like barely a novel type of thing. But so I think it but it really just depends because like there are some books that like they're series starters and it like there's a lot of banging and it works, but then as the series progresses, like you don't always get as much like because they have the slow burn because of like the relationship between the characters. So it really like there's no need for like a specific amount throughout the series because the characters kind of have to lead that.
So I'm going to ask this. It's kind of off book a little bit, but I'm curious because I've had this conversation recently with quite a few authors, actually. So what is your ideal length of a series? And I'm not talking about a world because we have authors that write in worlds, right? Like we look at Lauren Roe. Her books really, for the most part, can be re-read as standalones. They aren't really a connected series so much because we get things at different intervals and such. But ideally, what is your series length number? Do you want like a 3-book series or a 5-book series? Or you don't care if it's 17 books?
I think it depends for me. I think 3 to 6 is a sweet spot.
Yeah.
Once you get past 6, it becomes really hard for me to want to commit to that. Like for p authors with like 18 plus book backlists for one series, I'm just not going to touch that. Like I like to finish
Well,
things and it just feels too overwhelming.
yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Lindsay, but I think it also depends on the way the series is created, whether or not that 18th book works or not. Because like there are some series where like as it progresses, you get like a few characters, but not everybody. And so like the long series makes sense and it works and like the world in which it's created, like it doesn't bug me. But they're very clear standalone. So it's like you can go in and book 18 and like, not that I usually do that because I'm not a psycho like Becky, but you can go in at book 18 and like not need to read the first 17. So I think it kind of depends.
I mean, that's
Like
what I
if it's
did
an
with Cary
overarching
Elwes.
storyline, like 4 is usually my max.
I read a book 12 by accident in an arc.
On purpose, like
I
the
didn't
first.
realize it was.
Oh, did you have a coronary?
No, I mean, I was mad at myself because it was my fault. Like, I
Oh, I
didn't.
hate when that
It's, it
happens.
was my fault. But I really enjoyed the book. But I mean, there's like a ton of characters, and I'm like, well, I'm just gonna have to go back and read them now. But it's the Maisie Yates, the cowboy. It's cold outside.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's so cute, but I was like, who are all these people?
Oh,
And
it's
then
the
I look and
spin-off
it's
from the
like,
Foster family series.
yeah, so
Yeah.
technically it's like 12 or 18 like total if you combine all the series together. And I was like, oh my God. But I mean,
I
yeah,
have that
typically,
one.
but it's
I'm
really
gonna be
cute.
reading that.
It's really cute. But yeah, there's a lot of characters that I had no idea who they were. I was like, oh, okay. But that was my fault. But in relation to the number, like I think for a contemporary, I like it like 6 is probably my max. But then if you spin off into a different series, I'm totally fine with that. Like if you do like a Next Generation or another family, like Riley Edwards does it, like Carrie and Ryan's series are kind of like, you know, she'll go to another family that's loosely, like I'm totally fine with that. Like those can spin off into infinity for me. And then like on like urban fantasy or fantasy, like if it's a favorite series, like I will still be reading a book
Give
12
you
about the
30
same
books.
couple. I don't care. Yeah.
See, and I don't
So
mind like Natasha Madison. She writes her books in
it's
groups
same.
of four.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, here or there, I like that she does that. Four seems consumable. I think Sadie Kincaid does that a little bit too. It's usually four
Okay.
or five in a group of her series.
But it depends for her because it like for her, it depends on how big the family or
Yeah.
like the relationship she's having, like how many she
But
does.
Zoe Blake, like I like three with her, and then you get
Yeah.
three others that they could be all connected, but they kind of the three are the closest in those three books, so it
Well, it's like
makes
she has three and then like three sub-series
yeah.
almost.
So
Yeah,
I
and like,
really like
oh,
three.
sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, and I was just gonna say when they do that too, like you mentioned Natasha, like and she'll switch between like small town and hockey because you know, Jen Ellen says that she likes the distinction between the worlds. So like if you're staying like contemporary, like flip between that, or if you're doing mafia, you know, you have a distinction between like the families or the areas or whatever. So I think that works.
And I like, and I know that Melanie Harlow typically has always done like four books in her
She started
series.
doing yeah,
Three.
she's three or
Her
four. Three.
first, her first series, I think her first three series were like 3-book series. She did 1 4-book series, and then Cloverleaf Farms was 5. Then her next series was 4. I can't remember how many she did in the next gen.
See, that
Last one
feels.
was like 5 or 6.
See, and I know that like Julie Simon, she does 10, she used to do 10 to do 4 or 5 books per series, which was really digestible. I don't know what the current two feel bigger.
Well, but I think it's because the worlds are so interconnected and like they're still split, because I think it's still five books, but the worlds are so connected, more so than the way she used to do it, that it feels
Feels.
longer, but it's not at the same time.
Okay, so what I'm gonna ask this question, then we're gonna go through our series starters because I think you'd rather hear us give book recs than break things down. What is bad in a book one? What will make you say, nope, not for me? Like it's a good book, but you're like, this series is not gonna deliver what I need it to do. What are some of the deal breakers for you in a book one? Lindsay said too many characters.
If the main characters are boring.
Boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if I have no feeling towards them by halfway through the book, then I'm just like, what's the point?
Well, and on the
Honestly.
same note, like if the secondary characters are boring, like
Yeah.
whether or not you have really great first, like main characters, if there's no secondary character where I'm like, I really need that book, then I am not going to continue the series.
If the writing is bad, because like a lot
Well,
of
yeah.
read that are first in series by like newer authors that are coming out like in the I don't know if it's trad pub or what, but like a lot of newer authors that are coming out and like I would say like kind of under the Elsie Silver vein, like the what is it, Paisley Hope and
Bailey
Victoria
Hanna.
Wilder and Meredith Trapp and like a couple of those, like they had cowboy romances and like the plot sounded really cute and I was like really interested in them. And like I just really was pissed off that I read them, honestly. Like
They
I'm
were
like
a huge
water it
letdown.
down. Like they had so much potential. Like there was nothing wrong with the characters. There was nothing wrong. Like there was nothing wrong. It was just all vibes. Like the plot, like there were things that didn't make sense. Like conflict that was just manufactured, like just fluff. And it's like if you're writing a book like that, that's fine. Like you'll probably do well on book talk, but like I'm not gonna read you again.
Yeah.
Well,
No,
also,
I
if you
think
give
that's
me
gonna
like a
recommend you to my
450, but if you also give me like 450 page book of nonsense, it's like your characters can be really good in the story, like idea of the story is really good, but if I'm reading like Lucy Scores Knock 'Em Out series, the potential was really there, but those books were so long and there was so much extra, and it just I had no interest in reading two more 500 plus page books
Yeah.
of
Yeah.
nonsense.
Well, and I think of like, go ahead, Lindsay, what were you
Oh,
saying?
there's very few contemporary books where you have a good, strong story with only necessary writing, if that are like over 400 pages. Like that's just not, that's like a red flag almost every time for me. Like it, I'm serious, like in contemporary, I get it
I
and it's
agree.
normal.
That's why I'm
Yeah,
laughing.
paranormal
Yeah, I mean,
and
we've had this conversation.
romantic suspense, like
We
there
have
are
this conversation all the
places
time.
where it's fine, but if I'm reading a contemporary book and I see that it's 400 pages, I am gonna go in judging the book pretty harshly because I'm already mad that it's 400 pages. Like what are you doing?
And I think of like Tessa Bailey's It Happened One Summer. Like that book was really strong. It was a really strong book. A
Yeah.
lot of people
But
hooked it
the
in.
characters were horrible.
The characters were horrible.
I liked it. I thought it was hilarious.
I have
So,
Olivia
I did not like
Rose-Reynolds as like the
that.
gold standard for a
Yeah.
series
Series
starter
starters. Yeah.
because one, the books are like barely ever 300 pages. Like they're right around. They're really quick read books, but she writes like tight, good stories, like necessary writing. There's no fluff in them. But like you always want more from her because she
Yeah.
hits that sweet spot of like just enough.
Yeah.
And like her, she was my gold standard.
Yeah, she's on my list. I think she's probably on all of our
She's probably on
lists.
all of our
Yeah.
lists. Sarah DeWitt was my other gold
But
standard.
it's which
Yep,
series do you
she's
have
the
on her
first one.
list? Oh, I didn't put that one
I think
down because I knew
Sarah
you guys
DeWitt
would all
only
have that
has
one too.
one series. I think all of her other books are standalone.
They're all
Yeah, they are.
standalones,
Yeah. Like
yeah.
Favorite was the
But
perfect
oh my God, the
example.
perfect starter, because good God,
It
if we
gave
do not get
just
more
enough
books
breadcrumb.
after the next one.
Like
Also,
it
have
gave
you
me
guys
just enough.
seen the cover for the new one?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And
It's
she
so
also did
pretty.
not suffer the sophomore slump.
Oh,
No, she didn't.
no. So.
She didn't, but I think that it helped a little bit that those original books were actually indie published.
Yeah.
And that she kind of,
She spent a long time
she
on them.
didn't write that, she, Savor It and Left of Forever, they were not written back to back.
Yeah,
no,
Because she
they
had to
weren't.
do edits of Co-op and what's the other one that she,
Funny
Funny
Feelings.
Funny Feelings. She had to do re-edits for those between writing Savor It and Left of Forever. So I think that that helped because if you think about it, Left of Forever reads almost like a standalone.
It does,
All of
yeah.
her books do, I think, because she writes standalones pretty much exclusively. I think this is her only series, and I think even then it's only going to be three books.
Yeah, as of right now, I think.
And I do think that that
I
helps
need
in an
all of that
author
family, though.
that writes series that they write them in bet like that they're not just writing one whole series back to back to back to back. That it's flip-flopping. Because so like, you know, you guys say Aurora Rose Reynolds, which I agree. I love AAR's books or ARR's books. They're fantastic. But if you think about it, she's flipping between the two right now, right? Like the entails and then the other series. And then she sometimes will write a one-off, like the King
Forever.
of
Oh,
what?
King of Nothing. Oh.
King of Nothing
Well, even for not for never
and
too.
Forever. So I think that that helps.
It winds up creating a situation where, like, she doesn't really slump with any of her books. Like,
No, because she's coming to him
really.
each time fresh and new. Same thing I think happens with Carrie Ann Ryan because she usually is alternating two to three series. So she's writing this book now, then she's going to this book, then she's at this book, and then she's back to the original, you know, back to Wilder's, now to Cage's.
And Susan Stoker's the same. Like she flips, like she's flipping what, like four series at one time
She's an
when she
enigma.
releases.
Like, honestly, that woman is writing her 2026 books
I
already.
know.
So, like, nobody, like, I was talking to an author, is like, I was asking for quotes. I'm like, do you write ahead? She's like, I am not Susan Stoker. I'm like, no, nobody is Susan Stoker. I just was curious if you like wrote to deadline so I could have some quotes for your socials, or if I need to wait. But yeah. But no, Susan is an enigma. Like, that woman has like series completed that we are not even seeing this
That we don't
year.
know
So,
about.
oh, yeah.
So Karen's asking, do you like when authors put out different series or do you like one series at a time? I actually like the different series because, so my gold standard, no one is going to be shocked by this. No one is Carrie Elks. Carrie Elks is my gold standard of series, and she is usually alternating two series. Now, right now, she is not. She's going full in with the Fitzgeralds because we're trying to figure out what the other series is going to be for her in our, because she and I have started working together this year. And she's very concerned that if she just puts out all these Fitzgerald's books that people aren't going to know what to do, right? Like, you know, because she's never done that before. And I'm like, I think you'll be fine. You just have to make sure each book feels fresh.
Well, and Susan, just because we do some work with her, like this year, like her last series, like she did like two releases in a row, and she usually flip flops. But she has always talked about she flip flops her releases typically because not everybody likes every series. And so it's like she doesn't want the people that are waiting for a series, the next book in a series, to have to wait two or three releases. I mean, granted, she releases 8 to 10 books a year, but like, there's not as much wait time. So she was testing that new like format this year. But that's why like some authors do it, because one series might not be as popular as another one. And so they don't want people to get lost in the shuffle of their
I will
reading.
say for sorry.
No, go.
I will say like for paranormal, romanticy, like fantasy, those books, for me, if there is any kind of cliffhanger at the end, I prefer to know that and wait, and I would like them to
Yeah.
continue the series. Do not mess around with me. Do not go do this Rebecca Yarros thing where you do what you did and then go write 20 other books and take a holiday. Like, love that for you, hate that for me. Like, no. And I really get bent out of shape about a cliffhanger. And like, I was so excited for this one book this year, The Night and the Moth. And then I got my library hold. A bunch of my friends were talking about the cliffhanger, and I was like, nope, turned it back in. I waited like
I hate a cliffy.
insane, like 4 months for this book to hit my library hold. It did, and I was like, nope. And somebody else can enjoy. I'll revisit you like when the series
So one
is
of
made.
the problems with doing that, Lindsay, and this is my caveat to support our authors, particularly some of them that are our clients, is waiting for a series to finish can actually cause issues to where a series will not finish.
That's fine. If
Particularly,
that happens, I don't need it.
just being
I'm happy
brutal
for other people who
tonight.
do it, and I know
Flynn's
it's
is like,
not
I don't
ideal,
care
but
about your
I know
business
that how
model.
book world works, but I can't handle a cliffhanger. You know this about me.
I
I
do know
read,
this
you do,
about
and I
you.
hate an author forever for writing it.
If I know going in, I don't hate it as much.
I think right now, the way that fantasy, romanticy, urban fantasy, call in it whatever you want, paranormal, there is almost an expectation, unless you are writing a series of standalones, that they're going to end in cliffhangers. Like, that is what
Yeah.
they do. Like, if you are reading a new one, like, just assume it's going to end in one, or at least enough of one that it's going to push you to buy the next book. Like, I don't think any, there are very few fantasy, romanticy standalones.
Yeah, and I fully
Part of it
agree
is
with
the
that. But
type
I
of
feel like
cliffhanger, too,
something has
though.
changed in the last couple years where the cliffhangers are especially brutal now. And like, I used to get to a cliffhanger and I used to be like, okay, well, I'm obviously getting this next book when it comes out. But now it's like, I don't need emotional trauma from
Imagine.
this book for
Yes.
6 months. Like, and if you're gonna do that to me, I don't want to read your book until the series is done. And that's where I feel like that has really changed with that genre, where like, I will read some of these cliffhangers and I feel abused as a reader.
I agree with Jenny. It is like watching TV in the
Right, because how
90s.
many times did like
Yeah.
Magnum PI's
This.
helicopter go down and you didn't know if
Or
he lived or not until September?
Yeah,
ER
that's the
every
thing. Like
week.
the end of, well, but then when the end of the series, like this, like the season ended and then it didn't fucking come back.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And it just got canceled.
None of
It's
these
like,
people should
guess who
watch
shot
Lost.
JR? Good point, Jen Ellen. Who shot JR? I mean,
Don't be
honestly.
watching Lost. That's all I'm saying. How many times
I
did
watch, oh my
Aaron
God, that shot
Hotchner get
on TV.
kidnapped on Criminal
Criminal
Minds?
Minds. Yeah, oh yeah.
And we didn't know for 4 months.
That's
Sometimes
the
it
thing,
didn't get
we
a
had to
January
wait
release.
and hope that it didn't get canceled.
But I mean,
I
I do like
remember.
understand where Lindsay's coming from. I mean, with everything else
Yes,
going on in the
I.
world, it's like I don't need this too. Like,
Well, I
you
mean,
know.
also, like all of those, like all of these examples, it was like just enough of a cliffhanger to keep me emotionally invested to where I was coming back to it. It wasn't enough to where like I'm gonna carry the trauma of this book with me for weeks. Like that is the difference. And like great writing that you're able to do that. Like kudos to these authors, but I don't want to carry, like that's not the
I mean,
energy.
that's a series starter that you want, but also get ragey about. And
Okay.
I do think this is why like it's taking off, because like
it's really incredible that so many authors are able to create that kind of response with readers. But at the same time, like I am not a person who can, I carry a lot of stress in my day-to-day.
You don't want your reading to be
So
stressful,
fair.
too.
So fair.
No.
Okay, so let's start with some of our go-to series starter recs. So I'll just say Welcome to Winterville by Carrie Elkes, especially this time of year.
Nobody is surprised by that.
If you haven't fucking read it yet, read it. Read it this year for Christmas. It's
I am
flipping
surprised you
worth
have
it.
not made us sip and discuss it yet.
Because I think that I've covered most of them in Quick Shots of Romance.
Yeah, but still,
We
we
should
can do what
do,
we want.
instead of silent reading, we should do like a Winterville read along.
We'll just clear it
Like
off
a
everybody's
live,
TBR.
every few
Like a
weeks.
live, like tweet,
I don't know.
live Discord reaction of Winterville.
Okay, Leah, what's one of your first in series starters that you think is worth it?
The Business Card Boyfriend by Krista Sandor. So with the Starry Card series, she created something magical,
She always does.
and she always does, but there's something especially magical about this series, and like the small town that she created, and the life of the paper company, and like the background story of the paper and all that stuff. There's just something wonderful about it. And on like my honestly, my favorite is book three in that series. I mean, there's only three right now, but my favorite's book three. But book one was delightful and funny, and it was like pure Krista.
Yeah. Okay, what do you got, Amanda, for a series starter?
I'm gonna go with Idol by Kristen Callahan. I've definitely been in my rock star era this year, and we did that for the Sip and Discuss, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I binged the entire series, and like, I want book five. Like, please stop talking to me about your football series and finish this one. I need the last book, please. But I think that's a really good series starter. I think it's low entry for a rock star romance, but it has a ton of heart. Like, I love both of the main characters. I love the rest of the band. I mean, I literally devoured the whole thing like in less than a week. So yeah, it's up there for me.
Lindsay, what's a series starter for you?
I'm gonna do a different one. I'm gonna say All Downhill from Hill, All Downhill from Here by Piper Sheldon. It's her Slippery Slope series. It's set in New Mexico, a little ski town here, and I thought it was really cute. I was glad she continued it. It was a very easy read. It's kind of structured, I thought, fairly similarly to Aurora Rose Reynolds.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like her books get a lot of attention, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
So I figured I'd say that one also. Representation of New Mexico.
It sounds
My
cute.
new home state.
So I am going to go with We're Made of Moments by Molly McLean.
Oh, that's
She
a good
writes
one.
slower any I mean she does write slower, so the series isn't complete yet. We're still waiting on the sister's book. But the way she entered us into this world, into this family, into this town, it w you were just hooked. And no matter how long the time is between book one and the next book, you are invested. And she just has a really great way of balancing the romance and the heart. Even if I think she overwrote book three a little bit too much, because
I
it.
don't care. I loved him.
I
I would have
know.
kept reading about him. I did not care.
It went
I
on
was
for like
fine.
75 pages too long, but
I
we're
know.
made
But
of
honestly, Jesse
moments.
was hard to follow. Like, Jesse was really hard to follow.
Just, oh, the first book. Yeah, but the second book was, di but it felt different, like
Yeah,
fresh.
Aiden was
They
different. Yeah.
do. Aiden was definitely different. But
And
I'm
then
just saying, like, Jesse.
Jax, it's Jax, right? That's
Jinx,
the
Jinx,
Jinx was the
Jinx.
third book. It just was, it was no, there was no third act. And it just went on. And
Oh,
Amanda was
that's
in
right. I
it.
remember that now. Yeah,
Amanda
I was
was
in
in
it.
it. I was just like, I was, yeah, I mean,
You're
it
like,
did
I
read
could
a
read
little long,
that
but
from
I
like
loved
600
him.
pages.
I loved him. It wasn't, yeah, it wasn't like whatever. I was like, I was into it. But yeah, I mean, I'm desperate for the next book. Like, Karen and I like message each other like periodically, like, oh, did you see she's put an update out in her newsletter?
I'm there for it. I'm waiting.
I'm excited.
Leah, what's another series starter for you?
So Curvy Girl Summer by Danielle Allen. Now, I read book two before I read book one, but had I read book one first, I would have been completely invested in like the rest of the series. Book three is coming out in April, and I cannot wait. It's just the friendship that these women have, and the dynamic and the strength and the self worth that they have. It's such a dynamic series.
Yeah. So what's next for you, Amanda?
Next for me, I will go with Burn for Me by Alona Andrews. That That book, I mean, it's one of my favorite series, like that whole Hidden Legacy, because she does three with the first couple, three with the second couple. It's Connor and Nevada, and I mean, he kidnaps her like right off the street, right
Nice.
out of the gate. So it's
I
one of
like
my
that.
favorite books, and they just released book two in graphic audio, so I've been reliving it. It's
That's
always
so
a
funny.
favorite.
What's another first in series starter for you, Lindsay?
I'm gonna say Jocelyn Soto. So when I read her Huerto series, The Vicious Union book, it was
Oh, that's
before I had
good.
gone through edits, and I like it very much needed edits, so I didn't want to like recommend it to anybody, but I read all of them because I was so hooked in and her storytelling was so good. And then she redid all of them, and then like she's written a bunch of other books, but I feel like her series starters are really good, just her world building in general. Like she doesn't even need to write really well because she's so good at storytelling without it that like there's a lot I have forgiven for like from when I first read her books, just because her storytelling was so good. And like now like she has more money to invest in editing, so she doesn't have any of those problems anymore, so it's just like all good.
I feel that way even about the hockey series, you know, the red line, the blue line,
All of hers,
and the
like
goal
she's
line.
wherever she writes, like whatever she starts off with, and she's branched out to like her base, which I think she did a baseball book. Like all of her books have been really very solid. But she's really good at like sucking you into her world very quickly in her
Yeah,
series.
like the imagery that she gives you, like it's very clear.
And the mood, like she gives you that. The feeling I was describing about where the story sticks with you a long time, without the cliffhanger. Thank you.
Without a cliffhanger, fair, fair. Okay, so I'm actually gonna go with Blue Dahlia. It's book one in the Garden series by Nora Roberts. So I recently have been struggling a little bit with books, which nobody is shocked with. And so I actually went and saw that those were like readily available from my library, and I downloaded them. And then I found my mass market of
Oh,
Blue
nice.
Dahlia, and I was like, I'm just gonna read it. And that's what prompted the mass market
Post or
post over on
blog post.
Substack, because like seriously, I just want to hug a mass market. I love them so much. But Blue Dahlia, that series, strong women, suspense, stalkers, it is everything. I love that. That's one of my favorite contemporary suspense series from her.
Yeah.
Okay. Leah, what you got?
I have Because You're Mine by Claire Contreras. So this is a five-book mafia-based series, but it's just they're a little she writes a little chaotic, not chaotic, but like her characters are chaotic. Her characters are a little unhinged. Her characters are a little obsessive, but it's just I binged this series, the fifth book. Like, I am waiting for this fifth book to happen. It has not. It's coming out sometime soon, supposedly. But it's like these two characters that you've seen throughout the series. And that's one thing with her, like the way that Claire Contreras writes, is like her side characters are very dynamic. And like, you really want more from them. Not that her main characters aren't either. Like, she writes a great character and like a really good character-driven book.
I feel the same way about the Danielle or Dylan Allen
Ow.
series. Dylan Allen series that
Yes, the
we,
river's wild.
yeah.
Yeah,
Like
same.
those books. And she writes slow, but you're like, what can I read next from you, lady?
Yeah,
Just
exactly.
give them to me.
Well, and when you find like an author that has a similar, like, I don't want to use the word vibe, but similar vibe and like the way that they write, like it just it draws you in. But the story and the characters and the world, like it's just it all comes at you like full force.
Yeah. Okay, Amanda, what's another first in series?
I'm gonna go with Dirty Secret by Miralyn Kelly.
Oh, that's a
That's
good
a good
one.
one. The first book in her Slayers hockey series. Sally and I'm blanking on his name. But anyway, they're having a fling and he finds out that she's his coach's daughter. And like I read that I binged whatever was out in that series at the time. I do think that this one, some of the later books were not necessarily my favorites, but that
Yeah.
core group of like the first five, like, you
Yeah.
get Dirty Secret and Dirty Rebound. Like they're so
I
like
think up
they're
to
just
Dirty
so good.
Talker. I think up to Dirty Talker.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
think
after
four, yeah,
Dirty
four,
Talker kind of
yeah.
went downhill because Dirty
Yeah.
Talker is really good.
Yeah, that was four. So yeah, I think like the first four are super solid. So and I really like that, the friends with benefits, the coach's daughter, like I was in it. So
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite books by her. It's
yeah.
actually the captain's daughter, so it's
Is it
no,
the cat?
it's the captain's sister.
Yeah,
So
is that what it is?
like yeah,
Oh, okay.
Ellie is I think Greg is the captain.
Yes,
And
and he's in the previous series. Yeah, sorry, I said the wrong
so
thing. Yeah.
Greg is the captain, her brother, and then Vaughn is the male main character, and
Apparently,
they're
this is a Lindsay favorite.
Okay, and
Yes.
you know what I'm doing is I'm confusing it, like I'm crossing
So
that
it's
and
still good
Bishop.
though. But yeah,
Yeah.
so like it's a brother's enemy book. And he like they had a one night stand, they reconnect, then yeah, it's so good.
Apparently,
Yeah,
it's a
those
Lindsay
two
favorite.
favorite.
I'm thinking of the wrong, like
You know, it's
I know
funny
it's like
because
a
I
whole
had
thing.
Bishop by Sawyer
Bishop.
Bennett on my list too. Okay, what's another one for you, Lindsay?
I am going to say like so I was surprised Amanda didn't say this, but Lulu Moore. So
It's
Amanda
on
sent
my
me
list.
the two, like she sent me the two first books in the New York Lions series because she knows I was obsessed with baseball. And like Lulu Moore is the only writer where like I have no problem that she messes up the details because she writes such a good, and it's very few
Yeah.
details. One thing, really, like two things,
Lindsay goes
but.
feral for on other authors that mess up the baseball, but Lulu Moore gets a pass.
It's my probably
Her
like
books are so
minor.
good. Her
Yeah.
character building is so good. And like she is not like my biggest complaint about baseball writers in general is that they like gloss over the details. Like I read a couple of baseball books and it was like one so cliche, I just wanted to hurl the book across the room. Not like actually hurl, I just paused awkwardly.
I
But maybe
mean,
that too.
I
And
was
then I read
gonna
another
say.
one, and it was like I was really excited about it because like everybody had been talking about it, and I read it, and I was like, this isn't even a baseball book. Like he does baseball as a job, but like when is he ever playing baseball? Like it's allegedly not even the off season. And then it was like, this is not how baseball works at all. The World Series was not at the right time. The details were all wrong, and I was
Oh, you
like,
got.
you literally just said this is a baseball book so that you can cash in from that audience, and I'm mad that I read this all the way through.
One of
But
the
Lulu
things
Moore is like great.
yeah, one of the things I think Lulu Moore does really well with characters is intimacy.
Yeah.
It's not just attraction, it's not just chemistry. There's a level of intimacy between her main characters that I think kind of sets them apart. So you are a little more forgiving of,
Yeah.
maybe somebody took a shower in a dress or something like that. Like you're a little more forgiving of that. Or gets the baseball a little wrong.
But she, no, the thing is, she includes so many details that are spot on, or like, especially what she's done with this series. It's very similar to like what the Mets have done in baseball. And then,
Yeah.
like, she includes some of the science that is happening in baseball. And like, some of the things she draws attention to are like, so spot on and like so nuanced for baseball that it's like it doesn't matter that you don't know what teams would go play spring training where because like these are fun things that could potentially draw new people to the sport just by way of reading
Yeah.
a romance. Nobody really kicks off their series like that though.
No.
Like in baseball like they there's a lot of like introducing the team, but like I feel like with her books too, you don't always know who's coming next. Like you have an
Right.
idea, but like
Yeah.
when she does the next book, it's like this makes sense and it's really good.
Like she Easter eggs enough that you can figure it out, like once she announces the next one.
Yeah, and she's usually got a tie-in for like the next series. Like the baseball's done and she's like transitioned to a small town English village, which is amazing. So, yeah, it's That was actually on my list for the one to talk about, because that one's so fun.
Okay, so this will be our last series starter.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with, and this is not even my book, this is not even my series, but I have a feeling it's on Amanda's list, and I will give her a little reprieve from having to mention it. So, Take It or Leave It by Lainey Hatcher.
Oh yes,
Oh
that is
yeah,
on
that's a
my
good
list.
one.
So this series is fantastic, and I don't feel like Lainey Hatcher gets
She does
the
not.
accolades that she deserves, you know? This series, like, I'm really excited. Book four in this series is coming out here in the next couple weeks, right?
Yeah, first week of
Yes.
November, I think.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and I'm so excited for it, and we don't talk about her enough, I don't think.
We're doing a spotlight with her.
Are we? Okay. But there is something magical about this small North Carolina apple arch
She just,
orchard
that's the thing. Like, she's
farm.
created this amazing little town that you're like, I want to go there.
Yeah.
She also, like, and even in her, the entry into her, like, the Cozy Creek series, like, she just has this way of writing characters that I want to protect.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
I'm just like,
Like, I want to
please do
hug them
not make
all.
them sad because you're gonna upset me. Like,
Yeah. So that's
well, and she
mine.
did the same in her historical books that she wrote, because I read those and they were so well done, and her characters are so, they're so deep and
Yeah.
layered and
But she gave us even like side characters that were kind of like, who are you? Or, oh,
yeah.
you're a sassy old man. Or,
Yes.
what you doing over there, mister? Kind of guys. And I love that. And it's just, it feels immersive and encompassing. And there's something that brings comfort when you pick up that Lainey Hatcher series.
Well, but there's also a freshness to it. It's not something that we've read over and over
No, it
again.
doesn't feel overdone. It's not a Western.
Yeah.
Okay, Leah, your last one.
Okay, my last one. Actually, I'm going to go with Dr. Mistake by Julie Sauman. So the series started off so strong. And the Amelia, and I'm drawing a blank on which Fritz it is, but so it's a fake relationship. Like, she is the guardian of her little sister. There's just so much good in the way that the book and the characters were created. I just loved it so much.
It did, and it gave a lot of
No, wait.
promise.
Dr. Mistake, that was book one, right?
Yeah.
Because now I'm second guessing myself. There's just,
It's all of her.
you're introduced to this world that you just really.
Is it Scandal or is it Mistake?
No,
It's
it's a mis mistake is
Scandalous.
book
It's
two, I think.
the,
Dr.
yeah, Dr.
Scandal is this
Scandalous.
book one.
Hero is Oliver.
Oliver and Amelia, yes.
And they
See,
reconnect at their high
at
school.
their high school reunion, yeah. And so, but it's just the way that she set up the world and like creating the family. And I mean, you met the family in a previous series, but I didn't read that because.
I did, but and I actually had that series starter as one of my
Yeah.
on my list. She does
But
write a really strong first in series previously. I think that this Irresistibly Broken
I haven't read these ones. And because
doesn't
actually,
break.
like this one, like I was really excited about like the last couple books, and they've definitely fell off like for me. And so I haven't went back to her. But there's just something about like the family dynamic and the family relationship that she created. And I think part of it was like, there are these billionaires, but they did not have a lot of dysfunction in the family.
No, the
Like they
family
had,
liked each
they,
other.
yes, they got along. They enjoyed spending time with each other. There wasn't like, I mean, there might have been some, there was trauma like in their lives and things like that, but the family dynamic was not the trauma. And I think that was nice
Yeah.
that we got a different version of that.
Okay, Amanda, what's one of your series starters?
So for my last one, I'm going to go with A Proposal They Can't Refuse by Natalie
Oh, that's a
Kena.
good
And if
one.
you guys haven't read this series,
That
please
was on
look
my
at
list.
it.
Like, seriously, did we all have pretty much the same list?
I think we had a lot of the
I think we
same.
had a lot of similar ones, yeah.
But I think that's a testament to the fact that these are all really good series
Starters,
starters.
yeah.
It's like this book, like A Proposal They Can't Refuse, like Camilla and Liam, right?
Yeah, Liam.
I lost my
Yeah.
notes, so this is why I'm just We're
all
unprepared.
kind of a hot mess tonight.
It's been a day. But yes, so the Vega family, I mean, Papo Abuelo, the grandpas, that just, I mean, there's so much good in this series. There's whiskey, there's food. I mean, it's Puerto
Yeah.
Rican culture. It's set in Chicago. And I love all the books in that series. Like the three, I would read more. I know she's done, but I would continue to read this
Yeah.
series if they were going to come out
Yeah.
with more.
She's
So
writing a witchy romantasy next.
it's the
With a
one,
cliffhanger.
no, there's like it's like the oh my God, what is the
It's like
there's a
Dominican
monster.
folktale
Yeah, there's
with
like a
it.
monster that I can't process the name of. But yeah, it
Yeah.
looks amazing.
She's been talking about it. So,
Yeah.
Lindsay, she's like, damn it, cliffhangers.
Well, I'll
I don't
read
think
it
it's a cliffhanger.
again.
Is it a
Like, I would
cliffhanger?
forgive that for her.
Three
She
book
won't write.
series.
I don't think she'd write something like horribly traumatizing that would make me like hate her until the next book came out.
No,
Like,
probably not.
maybe she would, but I don't think that's her
No.
vibe. So,
But also, you know it's going to be really freaking good, so you're going to read
exactly.
it no
Like, I don't
matter
have to
what.
wait for that. Like, I know. I would hope that she's not going to do that to everyone, but you just never know anymore.
Okay, Lindsay, what's your last series starter?
I don't know. I have to, but I'll do Cynthia Eden, the Frozen and Ice, the Ice series.
Oh, yeah, I
So,
had that one.
yeah. So I read this. I'd read like later in series, I think. I don't know. I read this with Leah forever ago for a quick shot, and I don't know. Talk about another series that'll ruin your life. It's like 20 books total. None of them are in KU or the library, so like you have to buy them. But it's worth it because they're all cold case solving and like it's murder mystery. And like the first one in particular, she's like sort of solving this case with her love interest. Like he becomes her love interest. It's kind of like tentative. I don't know that I would call it like enemies. It's more like maybe adversaries to partners to, I don't know. It's good. They're all so good. I'm not done
Well, and
reading
they're all, but
it.
the thing with that series too is they stand alone really well. So you can jump in at any place because, like, there's usually only like, I mean, the cold like case like aspect follows like throughout the series. But honestly, like, you only see like a couple of the characters in the book, like the
Yeah.
next book. So.
But this one was really good. Like the series starter, it sets the stage, it sets the framework. Like all the books follow the
Yeah.
similar framework, similar spice levels. Like, I don't know. It's just.
Okay.
It's a really good series. Like,
So
if you
those.
like the show Cold Case from like CBS, like it has that kind of vibe with it.
So those are our series starters for this episode. We've done other series that we've talked about that we'll always recommend. So you can find more book recs over on our website, buzzingaboutromance.com. So now,
I know Joke had like 4 pages of series
you guys, I had
starters.
front and back 2 pages, so
I could do this
But I
in
stopped after a while.
like
Honestly, I sat there for like 15 minutes and I made my list and I'm like, I gotta stop because I have
yeah.
to actually choose them.
I stopped doing individual ones and I was like, who is actually one of my favorite authors that writes absolute trash series starters? And I was like, that's a list
That's
talk about.
not a list we're making right now. Okay,
I
guess what
mean,
time it is?
it's
It's
that
that it's that
time
time
for
for
book
book
of
of the week. Book of the
the
week time. Lindsay, what's your book of the week?
I was really disappointed to miss Sip and Discuss this week. I read the Aurora Asher book. I wound up, like, my library had all of them. So I wound up just, like, comfort reading the whole series. I've got, like, the last one to finish. But I was surprised at how much I loved it. Like,
But did you start on book one and then work your way
no.
through?
No. No, for sure
Oh.
not. I thought I was trying to make the Sip and Discuss this week. And then, things have been
Life.
wild. Yeah, it's. Maybe it'll settle down, but really loved the chaos of the series, loved the comedic moments, loved the whole thing. Like, I like that it was witches and demons, and like they're all so cute. And I'm on the last one.
Did you have a favorite that you read?
No, I
No.
think I'm gonna like this last one the best.
The last one?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Leo, what's your book of the week?
Okay, so I read Huntsman by Naima Simone. Let me tell you, this book is unhinged.
It is.
It is chaos, but it is so good. It has one of the strongest female leads I have read in a long time. Like the way that she creates this character, it's not your typical retelling. It's a Snow White retelling, but Snow White is not this like simpering dummy. Like she's a badass. Like she
With a
kills
knife.
people. Like she's into the knife and the blood play. Like it opens. Like honestly, like when the prologue happens, you're like, oh my God, she's. Like I went into it, I'm like, I'm gonna not like this heroine. She's gonna be like just a dummy, but she is not. Like chapter one opens and she stalks the huntsman. Like it is like Snow White flipped on its like lid and then spun around, and it's so well done, and it's a different style of writing for Naima Simone. Like she's never written dark like this, and we have a spotlight coming, and she said that she really wanted to challenge herself with this story, and she challenged, and she's far surpassed. But it's like set in Boston, so but
This
it's
is a
real
book for
time
Jen
Boston.
Ellen.
But it's oh, Jen Ellen, you would love this. Like it's real time Boston, but it's not at the same time, so it's like this really crazy juxtaposition in the world, which I think is why they're like kind of calling it romanticy, but it's not. Like it is delightful chaos.
Okay, Amanda, what's your books of the week, I hear?
I'm sorry, I have two. I'll be really fast
It's
because
okay.
I have so many arcs that I have to spread them out in my books of the week. So anyway, this week it is book one is Blind Date with a Werewolf by Patricia Briggs. This is actually a collection of five short stories about Azel, who appears in the Mercy Thompson and Alpha Omega books. He's an older wolf. He's kind of like been through some stuff. He's kind of over life a little bit. So his friends get together and decide that he needs to go on some dates. A couple of these have been published in previous series, but each one is its own little story. They're hilarious. They kind of tie back into his past. It kind of gets a resolution. He does end up with someone in HEA at the end. So I highly recommend that one if you're a fan of either of those series. And then my second book of the week is Good Spirits by BK Borison.
So good.
This is the best holiday romance I have read in a really long time. I'm not typically like a holiday book person, and I read this and I immediately like messaged Danielle, who is very much a holiday reader. And I was like, I think you will love this. And she read it and we messaged like back and forth. And she was like, she loved it as much as I did. But it's about the ghost of Christmas past, Harriet and Nolan. I won't say too much because I know I'm running out of time here. But it's like the perfect bridge from like Halloween to Christmas because you're
Okay, but
getting a little
also
ghost.
exemplary series starter.
Yes, it is also a very good series starter. Like, I cannot wait for the next book. Like,
Oh, I
Leah and I are
can't
both
even.
obsessed. We talked with BK
It's
about like what's coming up.
such a great story, and it is like a Christmas carol, but with a twist.
Yes, and a whole like so much heart.
Yeah.
The audio is really good too, because I listened. I mean, I eyeballed and then I listened, so you need to do the audio as well.
So mine is Threaded Lies by Kay Bromberg. This is book two in The Tangled Heart. I was super frustrated after the end of book one because it ends in
Yes,
a
we know
cliffhanger.
that we didn't know about.
Okay, warning, this ends in a worse cliffhanger.
I was gonna
And there is
say.
no pre-order date for book three. I was frustrated by the secrets, the cliffhanger, secrets.
Lindsay's giving thumbs down.
Cliffhangers. Rowan's fighting to secure her grandmother's inheritance. It's the family. She asks the wrong people to help her do it. She's so fucking dumb. Holden is consumed by revenge again. He's so dumb. I don't know when we're getting book three, but I'm so invested in this messy chaos of stupidity and secrets and
Are you rage
cliffhangers.
reading this
Pause.
series?
Yes.
Can you like only review books this way from now on? Like, I feel like it's
So
gonna be a
fucking
Becky special for everyone.
I just
Best review.
Oh, so mad. Anyway, Karen, that was for you. Just so you know, there is no pre-order date for book three. Could be a year, sister, but
Yeah,
I'm there
but
with you in
this was what
solidarity.
happened after book one as well. There
It
was
is.
no end in sight.
Yeah. And the cliffhanger. Anyway, okay. Patreon,
It's like deja vu.
thank you for keeping and supporting us on the podcast. Join us over on Patreon. We're a good time. We've got CR Jane in November for book club. Anyway, thank you, Patreon. Make sure you are back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our discussion of Curses and Cold Brew by Allie K. Mulford and K. Ellie Morrison. I'm super excited that everybody were reading this. This is book two in this series. And there is going to be a third book. I'm so excited. You can find a full list of books we talked about on our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. Make sure you follow us on socials for more book recs. If you're not following us on Pinterest, we've been putting a lot of stuff over on Pinterest with different TBR lists and stuff like that I'll link back to our website. If you love this episode, please leave us a review. If you are listening to us on Spotify and you have questions or you need a book rec, you can comment and leave questions on our episodes and we'll go in and answer them. So that's a fun thing I learned exists this week. This week. I don't
That
know how
is
long it's been
fun.
there, because we had questions unanswered that I went through and answered this week. So anyway, that's what we're doing. Thanks, everyone. I'm still angry about the book. Thanks, everyone, for joining us for this episode of Buzzing About Romance. Until next time.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.